My heart is yours. Take it all, take it all. My life and
come on. Thank you, Robert. You're the best. I have to tell you, I've never, ever had anyone cry because they had to leave my service. That's a new experience. You know, I used to tell my kids when they were young, I want them to be excited when I come home as the dog is. I want somebody wetting on the floor because they're that glad to see me. Welcome to the table. It's Holy Communion. I really like Holy Communion. I have some wonderful memories of taking Holy Communion, and I have some other memories of Holy Communion as well. I had a fight break out in Holy Communion once. It was two elderly women. One had the other one in a headlock because it was time to leave. I had a little boy pretend to choke on the communion wafer. You know, he did the full, you know, what you'd expect from a 4 or 5 year old little boy. Tongues out. Mom's wanting to kill him, but he's in public. Had the little boy come up to the front and do the cockroach. You guys know what that is? Where he lays on his back on the steps of the altar and does his feet like this. It's a holy moment. It always is. Welcome to the table. Whatever happens, happens, doesn't it? I've had people go in, adults, go into their elbow. I've had adults take the bread, stick it in their mouth, and then try to get to the cup. And I'm doing the cup thing, trying to get it away from them. I've had adults try to grab the cup so they could take a drink. Had communion at a wedding once. 100 years ago, we were serving, and the bride, I told her just barely touch it because of the white dress. And well, she wants the whole communion experience, and she goes all the way in and drizzles grape juice right up the front of that beautiful white dress. The pictures were amazing. Welcome to the table. Y'all probably starting to talk about the holidays. Some of you will start Christmas shopping early. Some of you already have. But the thing comes up. What's your favorite pie through the holidays? Pecan. Bless you. What? Apple. Any cherries out there? Cherry? There you go. Thank you. How about chocolate? Yeah. Is there really any point to pumpkin? I mean, what is that? You know, pumpkin. It's probably been sitting on your porch since Halloween. And then, any of you from the north that remember mincemeat pie? Yes. Weren't they good? Did anybody like them? No? It's raisins. Okay, welcome to the table. I've been to a couple feast over the years. You ever been to the one, especially if you're a kid, and grandma has all the best china out and the best glasses? And I don't know how they made those glasses back then, but they were paper thin. And you get your instructions. You're not to use those plates. You're not to use those glasses. You're not to touch. Don't touch. Don't touch. Don't touch. I will fix your plate for you. And then there was a kid's table where everything was plastic, including the chairs and the table. You were terrified. I mean, when did grandma become that person? I mean, she was fun the day before. And then there's the one where there's the other grandma, and there's just food everywhere. And she just takes the leash off and said, go get it, kids. There it is. It's food. Whatever you want. Start with a pie. I don't care. Just go get it. The Jewish feasts, it's kind of, especially the Passover, because they're celebrating the deliverance from Israel, but they're still oppressed by Rome. They're celebrating being delivered from the corruption and the pain of slavery, and yet their own Greek leaders, their own Hebrew leaders, their own people around them are corrupt. So what are they really celebrating? It seems like it was the place of the deep breath, where it was that moment where you stepped in from the Caesar, from Pilate, from Herod, from the leaders, from the Hebrew culture, from the Greek culture, from everything that's happening in your world, and you get to remember for just a moment that God did and God will do again. that God promised and God still promises. It's in the midst of the Passover, and it's just a normal day. It's everything that always happens. In Luke chapter 22, welcome to the table, as you see on my slides. I spent a lot of time on the slides this week. If any of you would like the name of the insurance company to give them a call, we'd love to give it to you. But they'll come around for us before too long, won't they? But instead, enjoy the slides. Jesus, in the midst of the Passover, and there's everything. There's everything the Passover would hold. Any of you, again, from the north who remember horseradish with your steak? Anybody? Horseradish sauce, with, in particular, with prime rib. It was y'all southerners that came up with ketchup on meat, and we're like, what? But yeah, we on a good steak would often have a side of a horseradish sauce. That's very Old Testament, the horseradish, the bitter root. He stops. He doesn't really stop. He just changes course. Kind of like I do sometimes. I'm going one direction and all of a sudden you go another. He takes the bread. He gives thanks. What that really says is he pronounced grace. Eucharisto. He pronounced a grace over it. He spoke grace. God was big about speaking things into being. He tears the bread. He tears the bread and says to them, "This is my body. It's given. It's for you." Broken and given come much later in the translations. The earlier translations just said, "This is my body for you." I want you to put yourself in a very first century mindset. I know by the time you reached 2022 in America, we know everything there is to know about the Bible, but they didn't have the Bible. So they're thinking Old Testament. This is the Passover, and Jesus just messed with it. You've heard me talk about that before. Jesus just messed with it. It's like in some services, he didn't do the Lord's Prayer. He left out the Apostles' Creed, where you're supposed to do this and you're supposed to do that. Jesus just messed with 4,000 to 6,000 years of the way we've always done it. He breaks this bread and he says, "This is me, and I'm for you." There is no cross. We don't know any of that yet. So what are they hearing? What was the bread? The bread was a utensil. For they might take a bit of the brisket. You picturing with me? A bit of the barbecued brisket. The fascinating thing about the Old Testament sacrifices was they would have the ceremonial sacrifice and then they cook them and eat them. Yay! I mean, there's brisket on the altar rail, and everybody goes through the liturgy, the ritual, the commotion of all that's religious and spiritual, because they know at the end, it's just about ready. And so the bread, they would wrap up a bit of the brisket in it to eat it. And then there's that stuff left on the plate. Jesus calls it the sop. Now, the Southern culture fully understands the sop, because you have biscuits for gravy, don't you? Stephanie does a barbecue shrimp dish. It has nothing to do with barbecue sauce. It's like shrimp in a soup. And the shrimp are amazing, but then you get to take the bread and you put it into the sauce. And it's like an emotional experience. You're just going, wow. And they would take that bread and they'd wrap the biscuit up in it and they'd wrap the stuff in it and they'd take it and they'd run it around the pan and they'd eat it. I'm an introvert by nature. And in Monroeville, my last assignment, we would have what I called the $40 dinner season. And there was a period before the holidays and after the holidays where all of us in town, preachers and people like this, we're expected to buy a ticket and come to these $40 dinners. And being an introvert, I can come to the table that has my name on a card where I have to sit and I have to wear the suit and I have to be Bill. But then I got to get out of there for a few minutes. I got to go somewhere and take a deep breath. I've got to go somewhere and catch my breath. And I would often go to the kitchen. And what I'd find in the kitchen was this big pan where the meat was. And do you know what's in the bottom of that pan? The little bits that didn't get cut up on your plate, the ends. And any of you are smokers or barbecuers, you know it's the end piece you always want. And they left those in the pan because they were small. And I would get a piece of bread. I'd get a piece of bread, and I'd get that pan, and I would just soak the bread. And then I'd have to do the Guy Fieri thing where you bend over because I'm in a suit. And every now and then it was like, so good, who cares if it gets on my white shirt? You just eat it. And so, with that knowledge, these people are hearing Jesus say, I'm like the sop that you get the good stuff with. I'm like the piece of bread that runs around the plate. I'm like that thing you wrap the brisket in and then you start to eat it because they didn't have forks. That's me. That's what I am for you. And if you follow in the line of some of my translations of the New Testament where it says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, I don't think that was a statement that you have to be a certain thing. I think what he was saying is, look at me. I am God before you. I am the way that God wants you to live. I am the truth. I am the fulfillment of everything you've ever learned from the Old Testament or what will soon be the new. I am how it lives out. I am life. And if you'll buy into this, this walking in peace in this world, this loving one another and taking care and being in communion with the holy, you'll find it. And so he says, this is my body. I am the thing that will give you the good stuff around your plate. So is Holy Communion something we do? Or is it the way we live? Anne Voskamp in her book, and you can see it on your screen, her book is called The Broken Way, and she says, everything that Christ embodied in what we call the Last Supper, and you know, they didn't. They didn't know that was the Last Supper. It was just Passover, and Jesus messed with it. But look what he did. That brokenness is healed in the remembering, the coming back into communion with the holy, the remembering of our communion with Christ. And we find our healing in the way Jesus lived, and the way Jesus introduced us to what Pastor Bill calls the good stuff. The things that make life vibrant and tasty. Is it ironic that the sacrifices were vital to their spiritual experience in the Old Testament? Then they barbecued them? In very, very liturgical traditions, when we finish with the wine, we're supposed to pour it in the ground. Or drink it all ourselves because it's holy. Well, the Old Testament sacrifices was, y'all get to eat it. We just barbecued in the presence of God. Come get yourself a rib. He gave thanks and he spoke the blessing. And the last phrase Jesus would say is, and I'm going to say it just like most of your Bibles read, do this in remembrance of me. Take the bread. Sop the plate and remember me. Take the bread and fill it with the brisket. Put a little of the bitter root, the horseradish on it. Take the full connection of the taste and feast before me. Richard Rohr, if you're looking at the screens, in his book, The Divine Dance, he says that we always become what we behold. And the presence that we practice is what matters. And through our lives, if we practice the presence of Jesus, we will become like Jesus. But if we choose to practice bitterness and anger and seeing what's wrong, we're going to become that. And we have to have a place to come back into space, to come back into a relationship with the holy. And the Holy Communion is that. It's a holy space where we come in and we take the deep breath. And in this moment, there is no politics, there is no economy, there is no us, there is no them, there is no war. We step into here and we take the deep breath and Jesus says, here's a bit of the bread. Sop up the good stuff while you're in here. Well, he didn't do this and he didn't do that and they didn't sing this and they ought to sing. Take the bread. Find what God says. And so the next thing Jesus does, in Bibles it says in the same way. He took a cup. There are four cups in the Passover, all filled with wine. Another irony, I always tell you, we only want to be as biblical as we want to be. For at the Passover, they all drank out of the same cup. Well, I don't want to be that biblical. Look who's sitting next to me. Who knows? He took the cup and he said, this is a new covenant. This is a new thing. This is different, which is poured out for you, for everyone. But in the earliest manuscripts, it says this is a cup of, it's a new thing for you. I've never really met the church where I could just come up here and say, hey, this is a new thing. We're not doing this anymore. And I would still have my job on Monday. We're changing stuff. Over the years, I've told you the stories of the pains of changing wall color, carpet color, and all of those kind of things, and we go to war over that. He takes the cup and he said, this is a new thing. This is me. For the wine was medicinal, and it was cleansing, and it was pure. For even the well of the water, the waters that come from the well were not always as pure. And humans needed the cleansing presence of the alcohol, for it disinfected life. And from the children up, they would have the wine, for it was healthy, it was healing, it was whole. It was healthy not in the way that my dad, who was an alcoholic, referred to his bourbon as cough medicine, and he sure coughed a lot. This was a part of life. It gave life. It cleansed life. It touched life. And so Jesus says that this is me. Drink deeply. I don't think they took the little cup and they went, or like some of us, we see how little bit of the bread we can get in there. John always gives you a big piece. And he says, God doesn't shortchange us on grace. I mean, you can make a sandwich with some of the bread he hands out. He means sop, doesn't he? Soak yourself in the grace. Dump deeply into the water. I remember a YouTube of a Baptist church doing immersions of the kids. And the pastor's in there, and he wears a robe for that, by the way. And he's baptizing the children, and you could look up, and you saw this kid. He got a running start and cannonballed into the baptismal. I bet he got in trouble. You think? But what if that's the way Jesus wants us to be with grace? What if he means it when he says, I'm the sop. Soak up the gravy. I'm the healing wine. I am that which cleanses you. And so Holy Communion becomes communion with the Holy, a lifelong conversation with God who we find in Christ. We quote the Bible from the old, we quote the Bible from the new. But if it doesn't line up with the personality of Jesus, we know God's not wrong. We know the Bible's not wrong. It must be us that's misunderstanding. And then Jesus once again uses this phrase. I translate it another way. It's apples and oranges. Do this in remembrance of me can also be translated, when you remember me, do this. And it was 150 years after Jesus died before the church began to change how they did the holy meal. For 150 years, how old is America? Just a tad over 220? For the next 150 to 180 years, they'd be having a regular church feast, a breakfast, a lunch, a supper, dinner on the grounds, dinner in the house, and everybody bought the food to share. And at some point, somebody would take the bread and they could go, remember. And somebody would take the cup, remember. God has done it before. God will do it again. Don't worry. And for that moment, they stepped away from Caesar, away from Pilate, away from the legions, the centurions, away from the Herod, away from the economy, away from their mundane lives. For a very few people were considered citizens of Rome. Most of them were servants or slaves of Rome. And they stepped into the holy. And they got to sop the gravy. And they got to drink the cleansing, healing wine that would not make them sick. They got to breathe. I've always been amazed when I serve communion with kids, adolescents and teenagers. It fascinates me. I don't know what it is. But I'll be about to serve in a church, and I'm in my robe, and I'm in my vestments, and I hand them the elements, and we take together, just like John or I do, or sometimes Kate and I do in this service, and I will just nod. I'll do this. And they'll walk over to that side. And I'll just give a point, and they'll start serving. There's a fascinating confidence and innocence in that mind that just says, I'm going to do this. It's the same way we always do it. It's not that big a deal. But without fail, when I invite adults to serve communion with me and I do this, somebody's going to go, you mean over here? And I'm going to go like this. You want me to start now? We try so hard to make something holy. We try so hard to attain reverence. We have so many needs to do it right. And that's why we get upset if this isn't in place and this isn't in place and this isn't done right. But we're humans. We will fail every time. The guy that hollered, you want me to start now? He just wanted to do it right. But isn't it funny that the child could follow a nod? Interesting. You can't do it right. God didn't ask you to. God says, take the bread, sop the soup. Take the wine, cleanse the palate. That's what you're called to today. And so we ask God to pour out the spirit of holiness on these gifts of bread and wine. They are, for us, the body and the blood of Christ. This is who we are. Well, yeah, go ahead, John. For anyone who needs, we always have try to have a gluten-free option, and of course, for those COVID worrisome folk or vulnerable people, we have what we call the to-go packs. I know it's so holy and reverent to say that, but we have these little things with a wafer on it, and you peel the top back, and you peel the top back. Doesn't it sound holy? Because you see, in our best efforts, this is all we've got. But in our best efforts, this is all we need. John, break the bread. Now and then someone will complain that the bread tasted too good because it's supposed to be those little wafers. Walk that out. Every now and then someone complains that God's grace is too good. You'll come up and you'll get you a bit of the bread. We don't care if you're Methodist. You take a bit of the bread, you dip it in the juice, you go back to your seats, and just ponder that this is the good stuff for you. This side can come first.
Start on the outside, the outside. outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give. Oh, the shape that we were in. Just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. To the table. Come meet this motley crew of misfits. There's liars and these thieves. There's no one unwelcome here. Shame that you brought with you, you can leave it at the door and let mercy draw you near. Come to the table, come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. Come to the table. To the thief and to the doubter, to the hero and the coward, to the prisoner and the soldier, to the young and to the older, all who hunger, all who thirst, all the last and all the first, all the paupers and the princes, all who fail, you've been forgiven, all the dream and all who suffer, all the lost and lost another, all the chained and all the free, all who follow, all who lead, anyone who's been let down, all the lost you have been found, all who've been labeled right or wrong, to everyone who hears this song. Come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. To the table. Come to the table. Come to the table.
Friends, as Pastor Bill and Pastor John are cleaning up our beautiful table here, I'd like to ask that you stand. And that song that we just sang is on the first page. It's called Come to the Table. And I love the bridge on this song because it says, to the thief and to the doubter, to the hero and the coward, to the prisoner and the soldier, the young and the older, all who hunger, all who thirst, the last and the first, the paupers, the princes, all who failed, you've been forgiven. All who dream, all who suffer, all who've loved and lost another, all the chained and all the free, all who follow, all who lead, anyone who's been let down, all the lost, you have been found. Come to the table. As Pastor Bill said in the sermon just now, what if sopping up that bread is sopping up him, sopping up Jesus? He always wants us at his table. So let's sing this together.
We all start on the outside.